What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Reckless Student Podcast. I'm your host, Avery Post, and today I'm joined by my co-host,
Charlie Gallett.
And today we're doing a little different. We're doing an Inside of the Mission, kind of talking about our faith and just going on mission for you and glory and for God. That made no sense, actually. But
did you mention Nicaragua?
Nicaragua. Well, I was going to get to that eventually, but hey, trials, tribulations, it's something new. We're working through it. But today we're joined by Kayla.
Hey.
Esther.
Hi.
And Silas.
What's up?
So thank you guys for being here. Mm-hmm. Charlie, you got anything for the guest?
Not for the guest. I'm just going to say, like, yeah, this podcast is like a mini series where we talk about what happened in Nicaragua and what we all learned and how God worked through us. So we're meeting with like three guests a week and just hearing about their personal experiences. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you want to start with the questions?
Yeah. So normally on the regular podcast, we start with an icebreaker. So we're going to get going with that today. So what was your favorite food in Nicaragua or go-to gas station pick?
Mm. For me, it was the fried chicken at the gas station. Mm. It was so good.
At the gas station?
Yes.
You ordered it?
Yes. It was so good.
I had the burger. I did not get the fried chicken. Mm.
I kind of just picked whatever she picked up. There was the little like
cupcakes
yeah. that were like, I don't know.
The penguins?
No, they were. They
it just
had
looked like
kind of
like pound cake
dough boy
almost,
on it.
Just,
yeah, it was literally like cupcakes without frosting.
So,
just zoom out and then put it all together, or move that to the end.
I wasn't
zoom out right there and then move to the end. Sorry, guys, a little technical difficulties. so you said whatever Kayla got.
Yeah.
What did you get? Pound cake.
Yeah.
Was it like a Nicaraguan pound cake or anything different?
I've never
about
seen it?
It
in America.
They were basically just vanilla cupcakes without the frosting, but they were really good. Yeah. My favorite was one of the nights at the compound. They had obviously like the rice and beans and chicken, but they had like guacamole and like corn salsa and just like all that
so
mixed
good.
Together. Oh my gosh. That was my favorite meal. I wish we could have had that every night. It was
that y'all's favorite meal too? Or?
I only remember like the night we got there and it was like the quote unquote little snack, but it was like a full
an
meal.
Actual whole meal. Yeah.
And that was probably my favorite. That might've just been cause it was the first one. And the most memorable, it was
literally rice,
chicken.
Beans, and chicken.
Yeah, there was chicken. I put like lettuce on there, and it was my first time trying like the sauce that everybody was
the green
freaking
salsa.
Out about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me just say, like, I had construction on Friday, which really sucked. Mm-hmm. But they made like hand battered fried chicken, and it was fresh, and it was the best fried chicken I've ever had.
Yeah.
So that was my favorite food that we had there. And then those aloe waters that I would get from the gas station. It was good. It was good. If you haven't tried aloe water, I know it sounds weird, but go out and try it.
Yeah. I tried Bowen's. It was pretty good.
I cringed when I saw him carrying around. I was like, I don't know.
I feel like one of those like ladies that only gets organic stuff. I drink aloe water.
The donuts were really good, too.
Oh yeah, the donuts were amazing.
Hey, I don't like donuts. I don't eat
donuts.
Yeah,
I did not touch those things.
They were actually okay. They were pretty good.
Yeah, they were good.
My favorite thing was the breakfast burritos.
Those were good.
The egg burritos
in
the morning.
Those were good.
Those are always really good. Mm-hmm. And the juice. The juice is always amazing.
I like
their
tea.
Oh my gosh,
their
sweet
tea.
No, the tea was, it's too fruity for me.
Really?
One night and
it's got like a lot of sugar.
Super sweet.
Yeah,
super
yeah.
sweet one night.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it tastes like Coke without the carbonation.
Yeah, when you said that, I was
it was kind of, it's kind of like, yeah. But other than that, it was really good.
All right, well, now that we've got through the icebreaker, we're going to go ahead and get into the main portion. So we're going to start off, how do you feel called, or how did you feel called to go on this trip? Like, was there any signs from God? Did anyone move in your life? Was it through the church? Was it people? I know yours was probably Kayla's.
It was. It was like, you got to go. And I
mean, she's right.
Yeah. And I remember being so stressed out. We were in her dad's office filling it out. And I was, like, about to throw a fit. Like, I was just so
he
aggravated.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I would even say that was evidence that I was, like, going through the motions and I was still able to go. Like, I would even say that's evidence that I was supposed to go. But I never really...
Yeah.
It really wasn't like I felt called. It was just everything was setting up in place for me to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, there's no way... that all this would fall into place and me not be able to go. Like, my grandparents, they were just like, where are you sitting at with your money? And I was like, I think I'm doing pretty good. Like, I should have everything I need by the deadlines. And they were like, okay, and then wrote me $1,000 check. I was like,
that definitely helps.
Yeah, but so I had my money before the beginning of this year.
That's crazy. Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know a lot of people were last minute with it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was like,
yeah,
I guess I'm going. Mm-hmm. So
I think for me, so I went last year, and I remember, like, multiple people had come up to me and be like, you need to go on this trip. And so I remember my parents, like, of course, were very weary at first and hesitant to let me go last year, but it was phenomenal. Yeah. And so this year, it was kind of my parents brought it up first. They were like, hey, Nicaragua signups are soon. Like, you got to sign up. So it was almost like my parents were more excited for me to go on this trip than I was. And so that was kind of cool that, like, last year they were so hesitant about, you know, sending your kid to another country without you. And then now this year they were like, you got to go again.
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, they probably saw what big of a deal it was.
Yeah.
How it changed you. Esther, you got anything?
For me, it was a little different because, so I've been doing high school ministry for a long time, but I've never done an international missions trip.
Yeah.
I've only done, you know, domestic ones. And last year when the group got back, my daughter, who at the time had not accepted Christ, by the way, said, we need to go next year. Like, I just feel like we need
to
go.
That's crazy.
And I was like, you want to go on a mission trip where you're going to spread, like, the gospel, but you're not even sure if you believe in the gospel? She was just like, I just need to go. And she literally signed herself up for Spanish 4, honor Spanish 4, so that she could be more fluent to go on this trip. Like, she was just so focused on it. And, you know, gratefully, she accepted Christ at Rush last summer.
Yeah.
And she had a great experience. But that's what got me to go, was that she was so insistent. And I thought, God, like, if my daughter, who doesn't even trust that you even exist, let alone has accepted Christ, she's really insistent on going, then I need to be there, too.
Then, right. Yeah, he laid it right in line. Mm-hmm. Just for some context, she's a leader. She's not just some student with a kid. I wanted to clarify that. But yeah. So we're going to have a leader on each episode, unlike the student podcast. So yeah, that's really cool how God worked it out. Charlie, you got anything? No?
No.
So how would you say your walk with God was before the trip, and how is it different after? Hmm. Whether it's how he worked in the trip, how it changed, whatnot, anything.
I would say before the trip, something that was definitely being worked on with my relationship with God would be, number one, my patience, because I was just trying to hurry up to the trip. Like, I was dreading school and everything. And my main thing was surrender. Like, I think I truly surrendered the trip to him in multiple ways. And it was a lot of just letting him do what he wanted to do, because everybody was like, what are you expecting this to, like, what do you want from this? And I was like, I don't have a list of things. Like, I'm just letting whatever happen type of situation. And after, I mean, I would say the same thing. Like I don't really have, well, I want to say I have goals, but it's more, I think I have more of like an open-mindedness almost, to where, like, if God throws me a curveball, then I'm like, oh, okay, we're doing this now, you know? So I think I would say aligned with his plan, kind of. Like, if he tells me to go this way, I'm going to be like, okay, I guess I'm going this way, you know?
So you just abide by his will.
Right, yeah. That was the main thing that I got from it, and something that was being worked on me beforehand was whatever he says goes type of situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So obedience too, right? Yeah. Obedience even in the discomfort.
Right. Yeah.
For me, I think the biggest thing that was different is I've been spending a lot more time with him. And I tried to do that, you know, leading up to the trip. We talked about that, but it was almost like I had to do this because of the trip. instead of wanting to do it. And so when we got back, it's been a lot of like, okay, like putting time for him and really getting to know who he is, and what his plan is. I think the past couple of days he's really been stretching me, since getting back, and just kind of opening my heart up to new things, and growing me. And so I think that's been a big thing, is like, it started in Nicaragua where, you know, you're told like, hey, go into this with an open mind and an open heart. Just be open to what the Spirit does when you're there. And then not just there, but bringing that home and really just embracing what God is doing in your own life as well. And just being open to see where he takes you with that.
Yeah, 100%.
I think for me, it really was a wake-up call of the importance of silence.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I think that going to Nicaragua, as we mentioned before, I'm a leader, so I have a full-time job and I work virtually, and I am on my phone, I'm on my computer, I'm on social media. I just feel like there's all these voices constantly coming at me.
Yeah.
And being in Nicaragua and being disconnected from all of that really allowed me the space to hear his voice and to recognize that I could hear his voice here too. I just haven't been giving him that space.
Right. So what are you going to do to change that?
So for me, it's more quiet time. Mm-hmm. And like finding time in my day, not just at night or in the morning, but I feel like I need that break in the middle of the day to recenter myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And who better to recenter myself with than with the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm. Would you say like, so when you do your quiet time, do you have like a certain place you do it?
So I work from wherever. Yeah. So I work from home. So it is from wherever. So I actually was having this conversation with Ken Bowalder earlier today. He was asking me about whether I do it at lunch. And back in the day, we talked about how when we drove places, we'd like go through a drive-through and like sit in the parking lot of wherever we were with like our Bible and have that quiet time in like the drive-through of whatever restaurant. So I think it really doesn't matter the location as much as that you are consistent
as you're doing it.
And that you're doing it. And sometimes it may mean that you need the audio Bible because maybe you can't read while you're driving. Mm. Maybe it is, you know, the app on your phone. But it's really important to have the time and to be intentional about setting that time apart. And I think it's difficult sometimes because especially y'all are doing sports and clubs and part-time jobs and schoolwork and church and family. And I think a lot of times adults overestimate the amount of free time teenagers have, and they make an assumption that y'all have just all this time on your hands, when the reality is that sometimes you're busier than we are. So for y'all to set aside, even if it's just 15 minutes where you put your phone away and just focus on the Lord, I think for me, Nicaragua really gave me as an adult that wake up call that I needed that.
Yeah, I mean, quiet time go like such a long way. I mean, that's where you intake your Bible. That's where you get all your wisdom from. I mean, that's your truth. So if you're not digging into truth, then, and you're just populating your mind with all this random junk we're fed in school and our phones and social media, then we're just going to get lost in the chaos of it all.
Yeah.
Trying to see what my next question was. So now that you guys have grown and you've seen how Nicaragua can change you and how it can change other people, going home, what is one story from Nicaragua? If you had to pick one story, what would you tell people? I know what you two are going to say already, but y'all can kind of tag team that one.
Go ahead.
Y'all want to do.
Okay. So on Thursday, we met this family, and they had a daughter who was depressed and suicidal. And our team kind of just gathered around her and encouraged her and prayed with her. And it was really significant. Being with her, you could feel her heaviness, and you could feel that pressing in on her. And so she just, you could see the brokenness in her eyes. So we we got her to come to church with us that afternoon, and we kind of just hung out with her and took her to the Bible study, and I braided her hair and gave her bracelets and snacks and introduced her to my friends, and we just poured into her. And I think that moment was so pivotal for her life and mine, because by the end of the day, she was smiling. She didn't have that heaviness. Obviously, she was still going to be struggling for a little bit, but she had an imprint of Jesus's love on her life. And so it kind of really opened my eyes to, you know, you can go to doctors and you can go to pastors. You can be prayed over. You can be diagnosed. You can be given medication. But what she really needed in that moment was a friend. And Jesus's love and just being loved on and being seen for where she was instead of trying to fix her.
Do you want to add to that? No?
I mean, I think the one thing that comes to mind from that particular experience is that, so my daughter was with that group, and about 4 years ago, my daughter was suicidal and needed to get the support, and she ended up having to actually go through inpatient. And, you know, when all of that happened, you ask yourself, like, God, what's this for? Mm-hmm. Like, God, why are we going through this? God, like, you know, you start questioning God. And I feel like this moment where she was able to share her testimony and be part of the group that was loving on her, it was just God saying, this is it right here. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. You know, we go through things in life that sometimes we just can't understand, and we could be angry with God, and we go through that fight, and the Lord will always use things for his glory and his good, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this was one of those moments where they used their stories, their testimonies. God worked through them to, I believe, to reach this young woman, because Kayla's still keeping in touch with her. And she seems to be doing progressively better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. One thing Tyler always told me was, that's kind of always stuck with me, is you're the first Bible people read. So sometimes, like, you don't even need a Bible. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, the Bible is the truth. Yeah. The Bible is Jesus. The Bible is the Savior. It's mm-hmm. going to give us the knowledge to be saved and take us to heaven. Right. But sometimes not everyone can have a Bible. Not everyone can afford one. Not everyone has access. So even just your love and how you act, and Kayla just showing her love, mm-hmm. is the first Bible people will read. Wow. And I think, yeah, what Tyler said still goes such a long way, because sometimes we, I think we just don't really take that into play.
No, people see a difference in you, and they kind of want to know, like what's different? Like, why are you different? Like, I don't understand, but there's just something about you that I can't put my finger on, and that's what it is.
Jesus' love, yeah. Mm-hmm. Silas, you got anything?
The first day we went into the village Monday, we were doing door to door, and we ran into this woman, and she came out, and we like went under this tree in front of her house, and we started to get to know her a little bit. And, her son had, I don't know how long, but he is, a drug addict, and, I was able to speak to my own experience, because I struggled with drug addiction for probably 3 or so years of my life. And I was just basically able to tell her, like, hey, I know I've been in your son's spot, and if God can save someone like me, he can save your son too. And we prayed over her, and we actually ran into her again Friday. And it was the church lady that we were walking around with. She's like, hey, she's been asking for y'all. She wants y'all to come back over and pray again for her son. So we go over there, and this time we actually went into her, or onto her property. And she said that her son actually came back. And prior to this, she hasn't seen her son in 3 months. And the last time that he was there, he was like sneaking in and stealing money so he can buy more drugs. And she said that he came back, but sat under the same tree that we prayed over her at.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that was like the the moment where it was like, okay, so this isn't just like he's coming back to steal more money. Like he, so anyway, he sat under the tree and basically just sat there and didn't do anything, apparently. Like he just sat there and nothing really happened. And he showed up. There was that one time and then there were two other times. And same week, yeah. And it was that Monday. He showed up that Monday after we prayed, and then two other times. And she said it was either the third time or the second time she went out there, gave him food, but he didn't respond. He didn't say anything or nothing. And we just poured into her again. Like that just shows that God's working in him in some way. And you just showing him the love of like, hey, we're still here. Like you gave him food. Like that probably showed him that you still care for him and all that. And to add on to that, something that stuck out to me, it was something that Ken said. He said, like, you see so many times in the Bible that things are repeated three times. Mm-hmm. Like Peter's denial three times. With the angels crying, holy, 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 three times. So the fact that he showed up three times in 1 week was, to me, like, significant. That, like, okay, God's doing something.
Yeah, God's working.
Yeah.
And it was... I think for me, being tied to both of these stories, because I was with Silas, I was translating.
Oh, you're translating.
I was
that
translating. Yeah, that's so cool. Silas was part of my team, and I was translating. Yeah. So to see, like, when the church lady said she wants you to come back to her house because she has something she wants to tell y'all, it's just really powerful to be in that space and to see someone that on Monday had told us, yeah, like I believe in Jesus and like I've been to church, but I'm not quite sure where I am with my faith. To then, by Friday, she had gone to the different Bible studies and was asking us to come back and pray for her family. Mm-hmm. And her faith was just getting deeper and deeper as the week went on.
Right.
That's so cool. I think every single year, one of the coolest parts, I know, Kayla, you've probably seen it before, is just seeing how God uses everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, no one isn't meant to be there. Mm-hmm. No one, it's just, it's never by accident that you make it all the way to that process. You get selected. God gives you the money, everything.
Right.
So there is a purpose here, there. And everyone has their own spiritual gifts. Everyone has their own God-given things that they can use to glorify God. So my question is, what do you feel your purpose is? And how do you see that play out while on mission? Mm. So, I mean, Silas, you're one of the smartest people I know when it comes biblically.
Really?
Do you see that play out? Or you're worshiping? Or
anything? I say that I think the main thing that showed was, I would say, some of my knowledge of the Bible came out.
Yeah.
But I think the main thing that came out was the leadership side.
Yeah.
Because, like, I've heard people tell me, like, you're called to be a leader and all this stuff. And I was, like, never been in a leader position before I gave my life to Christ.
So what kind of leadership are you talking about? Just in general leadership or what?
Well, I feel like I'm called to a pastoring role of some kind.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure like where that goes down the road, but I do feel called to that. And that was the one expectation I had for this trip, was that I get to exercise the gifts that I've been given. Mm. But yeah, I would say the main gift would be that I exercised was my gift of leadership, and I would even say prayer.
Yeah, prayer goes a long way.
Yeah, right. And that was like the main thing that everybody said that I was in my, that was in my group. Like, dude, you pray so well out loud. Like, I always pray out loud. Like, that's just something I've always done. I don't like praying in my head.
Yeah.
I guess like the way that I put it is like, I don't feel like if I don't hear myself say it, then I don't believe it. Type, I guess. But yeah. I'd say the main thing is my leadership definitely was
you'd say
shown.
God used your leadership ability, put wisdom into you, and let your words glorify him when praying. Yeah,
absolutely.
Kayla? How would you say God used you?
I think a big thing that God has been showing me lately is the power of words. And I think that one of my spiritual gifts is encouraging. And so I think that especially came into play here when, you know, people were struggling or we were meeting people it was a lot of encouraging done, especially with that young lady that we met. So that's been kind of a big thing that I've been trying to exercise lately, is just being an encourager and a supporter of people. And so I think I really got to use those gifts on that trip.
Yeah. I've always seen that, like, in you or Lily or whatever, because I feel like a lot of times there's times where, I mean, you might not be the front and center. You're not the one ministering people, like, up on stage or whatever. But sometimes, like, there's people on our trip that are scared out of their minds. They don't know what they're going into. So people like you and Lily to help mentor people, or just people in the village or whatever, like, that goes a long way. It's like those little hidden things that people don't see that really go a long way.
Right.
That's true.
I think for me, it was discernment. I think God gave me a lot of words last week, 2 weeks ago, and half the time I didn't really know what they meant. But I felt to be to Silas's point, or being obedient and just sharing what those words were. And that made a big difference, I think, in just my walk with Christ in general, but definitely during that week, like listening to the Holy Spirit and moving however he was asking me to move, even if it didn't make sense to me. So like, you know, even when God gave me different words for people in my team that just didn't make any sense to me, but then when I talked to them, they were like, whoa.
Yeah, I remember you telling us about that in big group. That was crazy.
Because I was sitting there, I'm like, man, like that, why do you want me to tell Tate that? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Or why do you want me to tell Kayla that? Like, I don't, but then when I talked to the student, it made sense. To them, because that was between them and the Holy Spirit. This was like confirmation. So like allowing the Spirit to do that and not be afraid of it, because that takes, you know, it's kind of scary to be like, hey, let me tell you what the Lord told me to tell you. And it doesn't make any sense to me. But
that's super cool. Ken's always been really good about that too. You had a great co-leader. He's been always very good about spiritual discernment. There's no surprise that that happened.
No.
Did y'all feel much spiritual warfare when we were there, or what?
I felt it during prayer walking.
Prayer walking.
It was like you could cut through the air with your hand. Like it was like, it's just hard to breathe, hard to move, and it wasn't just because it was hot.
That first day was really.
I don't even remember when we did. It wasn't the first day. Prayer walking was like Thursday.
So in the middle of the night before prayer walking, I got up, like literally like woke up in the middle of the night and heard the Spirit tell me, today I need you to be silent and still. Like, that's what I need you to do today.
Oh, that was the day.
And I was like, okay, I'm prayer walking first thing in the morning. So silent and still, not two things that are going to go with this. And as we were getting up on the bus, I all of a sudden got really nauseous and like got sick. And the next thing I know, I'm back in my bed. And after about a 1 hour nap, I woke up and I felt God tell me, I told you today you're going to be silent and still.
Wow.
And I literally just laid there and prayed over my team and prayed over everyone all day long. Like, I just sat there in prayer. And because I felt that that was happening, and they were prayer walking at that time where he was saying, where he felt that spiritual warfare. Like, it was really like, that's what we were being called that day. I feel like that was like a day at war.
That's so cool. I think like even our group, we were praying at one point. We were just, we were kind of prayer walking. I think it was Wednesday we were prayer walking.
That was the day.
Really? I thought it was.
I'm not entirely sure.
Wait, when did you have prayer walking?
Monday and Thursday. I don't know. We had it twice, but it was Thursday.
Thursday we were prayer walking, and I remember like everyone was like, oh, I feel like we need to stop. So we stopped, and we were praying just like over the other teams, and I remember like Tate's name came to mind and whatnot. And then I think it was like the time we were prayer walking after talking in big group was the exact time Tate was talking to like the Mormons. Tyler was having crazy stuff going on with what you were talking about or whatever. Was that the same day or no?
I had it lined up with something Thursday. Crazy. It must have been Wednesday.
There was one day. It all lined up perfectly, like the right time, the right day, everything.
So it's clear that that happened a lot over the week then.
One more thing I would add is the spiritual warfare with the guys there. It was crazy.
And you'd have to pull them into the conversation, too. They were more reserved.
Yeah, I had two experiences with it because we did door to door Wednesday night, and we had Addie with us, and we were just walking around, and everyone we encountered was a guy, like all males.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's rare that that happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one, it was just like you were talking to him about it and everything, and they were like listening, but you could tell that, like, I think Todd said it best, is like, once you start talking about Jesus or anything spiritual, like, you just hit a wall.
Yeah.
And especially with the kids on Thursday morning, like, it was, because we asked, I don't remember which question we asked, but we started asking about heaven, like, do you think you're going to go? And none of them said anything. And then one kid was like, well, we're not going to know whether we go to heaven or not. And we were like, who told you that? And they didn't say anything to that. And then we asked the question, like, do you even, I think Todd was the one that asked it. He was like, do y'all care? And they all said no. Like,
that's great. I remember talking about that. That's just so different. Cause like the last years, do we see that?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, exactly. That's.
But the next day, I think you had sports ministry Friday, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, I'm glad he did what he said he would do. Cause he split them up. Mm-hmm. Into different groups and that, because y'all had like salvations, didn't you? That Friday.
Yeah, I think we had three or four.
Yeah.
Okay. In my group, I'm not sure we did, but in Caleb and Todd's group, there was three or four, and then I taught them how to share the gospel and everything for both groups.
That's awesome.
It was super cool. I really hope the kids had an impact because they were so confused, and just teaching them the basic gospel is what they needed to hear.
Right.
I think they did because VBS on that Friday, you know, we had a whole bunch of preteens and teens like just sitting around wanting to hear the word.
Really?
And we ended up having an impromptu Bible study, you know, where I was sitting there and I'm like, I need help. I'm by myself. And this was Friday.
Friday?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And then Jet and Lily and Anna, like a whole group of people came over and I was like, y'all, like we have people sitting here, literally, they pulled up chairs and sat in a circle around us between the ages of like 10 and 17, and mostly boys. Mm-hmm. And they just wanted to hear the word and wanted to talk about it. And we had like this impromptu Bible study that I translated for and they led, and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. So I think that once again, like the Spirit was just working all week long, but there are strongholds that we have to pray against and really like war against because they're there.
Right.
Well, even like just planting the seeds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we might not see the fruits of our labor, but that's crazy that it can surpass us and just God can keep growing in that. Let's see. I got one final question to wrap it all up. So what would you tell people about this trip? If they ask you, what was the trip like? Did you have fun in Nicaragua? What would you tell them? Or for future people who are interested in going to Nicaragua? Other students. I know you guys are both seniors. You're a leader. So people really look up to y'all.
Right.
So what are you going to tell people?
You look eager to speak.
I'll go last because I want to talk to students and parents who are listening to this from that perspective.
What I would say to people. I don't even know. I really don't.
It's so hard because it's such like so much happened.
There's so much to talk about.
It's really hard to just encapsulate it in like one sentence. You just can't do it.
I mean, the main thing I would say is like God moved in ways that I could have never
dreamed.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean.
Well, when Kayla came back last year, what'd she tell you?
I don't even know. Well, I met her after, like, it was a couple months after.
Oh, you're right.
So, I mean, everything, like, I was shown pictures and everything, and she was just like, it's great, and she misses her sponsor kid and all this. And
that was really cool.
Which I did get to see again, even though we were in a different village. Yeah.
But, I mean, just, like, if you want to see God move, this is a perfect trip to go on.
I think that's what's so cool about mission trips. Like, you're going to see God move.
Mm-hmm. And what I tell people is, like, so often they ask me about, like, oh, tell me about the trip, tell me about this, tell me about that. But I really can't describe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to go on the trip to see it for yourself. Because no matter how many words I say, it's not going to paint a single scene in the way that we experienced it.
Yeah. That's absolutely true.
So, Kayla, what do you have?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. Like, I kind of agree just, like, that if you really just want to see God do crazy things that you can never even, like, dream up, then it's such a great opportunity. And just, like, it helps you really learn to be open to yeah. his will and what he's doing. Because there are times, I mean, like, there are opportunities for you to speak in women's ministry or in sports ministry or share your testimony in door-to-door. Like, in those moments, you're learning how to be courageous and trusting in the Lord and know when he's calling you to share and to just say, like, hey, look what God's done, like, in my life and how he can do this in your life as well. And so I think it's just a really great opportunity for you to grow and grow in the Lord and to see what the Lord can do through you and through others for people.
Yeah.
And I would say from the perspective of a leader and as a parent, I saw exponential growth this past that week. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. I saw people Absolutely. Like really overcome fears, overcome issues. I saw people grow in a way personally, spiritually, that I don't know that there's any other experience out there that can no. do that with someone, yeah. right?
No, not even close.
Because, you know, I feel like as much as we give to the people that we work with, they give us so much.
Yeah. Right.
So as a parent, I would encourage other parents to the moment that your student says, I want to go on this trip, don't put a whole bunch of halts on it. If they're telling you that their heart is telling you to go on this trip, like, find ways to encourage it, because that, if they're listening to God in that way, he's got something amazing for them there. Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid of it, because I think a lot of times students are afraid mm-hmm. To take the leap and do a trip like this because of, well, the food and the different country and a different culture and away from my family or my boyfriend or my girlfriend or whatever it may be. But I would think I don't think I've ever heard a single person say they regretted going on the trip, but I've heard a lot of people say they regretted not going on the trip. Yeah. So I feel like that's where the proof really
it's
is.
Definitely proof.
But it is truly a life growing, life changing, experience and opportunity.
I think it was really cool just from a senior perspective. I don't know about y'all, but I mean, last year there was like 20 seniors on the trip. So we were like the young bucks of the group, but now like, there was like 20 sophomores, and just to see all of them grow, it makes me like the future's in good hands.
Yeah.
They're going to do amazing stuff in the years to come.
That was one thing that shocked me the most. And I was like, wait, you're not a senior? And
yeah. Like, Tate?
I was like, what?
Crazy.
Yeah, Tate. Yeah. He's perfect a sophomore. Example. Yeah.
He's got two more years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was really exciting and encouraging looking back as a senior to see like where the ministry's going.
Yeah.
And just be encouraged that like these people are excited for the Lord. And that they will carry this.
I can't wait to hear all the stories.
Yeah. It shows you that they want the real stuff. Like, they don't want the counterfeit Jesus. They want Jesus.
Yeah. And for folks who are thinking of being leaders on this kind of a trip, you don't have to be a pastor to go serve. I think sometimes people are afraid to sign up to be leaders on trips like this because they don't feel like they're Christian, like they don't know the Bible enough or they don't, whatever it may be. Like somehow the enemy has convinced them that they are not the right person for it. But the reality is that God will use you where you are and will use you in very big ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's all true. We're getting close on time. I know it's 4:20. You got to get to worship and he's got to get old Jackson home. But so I thank you guys for being on this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you.
It's really cool to see how y'all's stories played out and how God used y'all. Can't wait to see what happens in the next 5 weeks. We've got to hear everyone's stories. And thank you again.
Yeah.
Y'all got anything to say before we go?
Thanks for having us on.
Thanks for pushing through the technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Location change.
Spiritual warfare.
For sure.
Yeah. But thank you guys again. Thank you guys for listening. And remember, you are loved.
You are loved.